Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. We have a very special guest today, our dear friend and very talented producer, writer, DJ, entrepreneur, John Locke is in the house.
AKA unnamed drummer in the jazz band on Glee.
Any scene in the choir room with some music happening and you look to the drummer in the band, that's John. He was there from the pilot from Don't Stop Believin' with that hat, his little fedora,
oh my God.
The way to the series finale. I learned so much in this episode about his experience and like how his like day to day went.
Totally.
No, my job was on the ground.
Yes, they had a whole separate life that we did not know about.
Truly. And yet still so wonderful that there's such a deep part of our Glee experience and our Glee family. I'm excited for you guys to hear all about John and his Glee experience.
Here is John Locke.
Howdy, you two.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We're happy to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. I've watched what you two have been doing for a year now, over a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over so a year. Cool.
Yeah. You guys have done a great job.
Thanks.
Well, it feels like if anybody was there as much as we were, you were in that choir room almost, I think, as much as us. And you were there forever. like going back to watch it, because obviously we have our memories of hanging out and you being there, all the band, right?
Yeah.
But then actually getting to like sit as a fan now and watch it, and then clock like John, there's John again, and there's John again.
Gosh,
let's talk about it. How did you get the gig to begin with, and what did you think the gig was gonna be?
So I came out to LA for music, like writing, producing, DJing was my thing. And I went to a school called Musicians Institute in LA. Like, that's what brought me out here. I was sleeping on a couch in like a kitchen for 2 years. And after I finished the school, they do these referral programs for like gigs and shows and things that, like, you know, you can work as a musician because you kind of have to. And I got an email for a Fox TV show pilot casting musicians that act. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So I sent in a headshot, a singular headshot of mine, and got cast. No audition, no nothing. It was a headshot and like, hey, I grew up playing drums and like did some acting, and here you go. And that turned into 7 years of work. So
John, that's crazy.
Respond to emails. Like, that was my biggest lesson. Yeah.
So now, did you get this script before you showed up, or were you showing up as a musician just knowing you were going to sit on some kind of instrument?
Yeah, we got obviously the song to, we were told to, we were going to be on set on camera miming back to a song. So we had to learn the part and play it live, which is what we did for the entire series. But we had just gotten the song. We had no script. I had no clue what was happening. I was like, this was the first television thing I'd ever done, first like real production. So I had no clue what was going on. I was just told to show up here, meet this person, know this part, and that was it. All right, cool. Yeah. And I looked completely different than my headshot. Like, I changed my hair, all this stuff. But, you know, I was 19 at the time.
19. Oh my God.
So I looked like I still look like a child. So
we were a year apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Email, just one email.
How long after finishing Musicians Institute did you get that email?
A couple months. I was working.
Wow.
I finished school and I was working at Guitar Center in Hollywood, and I was doing music. I had one of my professors from that school that hired me, and I was doing all the dance mixes for America's Best Dance Crew. So that was like my first professional job outside of school. And then I was still doing music for ABDC, and it was like season two. And I got this email and was like, you know, we shot the pilot, and then I got told like a little while later that the show got picked up, and I told the casting person, I was like, what does that mean? She's like, well, you're going to be working more. And I was like, cool. I got that's fun. Like, that was a fun day. Like, let's do it.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so nuts. Now.
Okay. So now then, what is that like for you? You get hired. Were you hired then as a musician or an actor? Like, what was did you have a contract? Like, what was that?
Oh, that's the crazy part. And it's funny because we never talked about this.
No, we just became friends, and that was it. Like, we didn't talk about your, like, our positions in whatever we were doing.
Oh, it was interesting. And looking back now, as like, obviously as an adult and being in the industry for so long, look back and I'm like, oh, I get it. We were always cast through the musicians union. We were never, there was two times I went through SAG. It was obviously when Scott and I did, I think it was Hold On 16, when we actually performed stuff.
Exactly.
And that's why we were never allowed to move our mouths. Because if we did, we would have to switch. No, literally, contractually, we would have to be considered SAG actors. So we were literally told that we couldn't talk or sing or mime anything because contractually,
you were musicians.
Pay us more money, like in a sense. We'd be like reoccurring, like, you know, something, you know. So yeah, it was a whole different thing. We had different like reps there than all of you. And it was just I didn't care about all that, because I was like, you know, I was getting paid and had so much fun doing, you know, working on the show. And but now looking back at it, I was like, oh, I see all the subtle, like subtle political, like you know, corporate things. And I was like, oh, that's why we can never do certain things.
Because you guys were your own sort of island, because you had us, you had guest stars or like anybody that SAG contract, including like background actors,
dancers.
And then musicians.
You guys.
It was interesting. I always felt like the cousins that like lived far away, that like showed up with like other cousins that you didn't really know, and we would just kind of show up and you'd see us like every now and then, and you know, it was a different channel that we were brought in. So it was definitely interesting for sure.
And what was the process like then once you were on the show, right? Did you know how many episodes you were gonna do, or did you just get like days of work or episodes of work? Like, you knew you were going to be in this episode? Like, how did that work for you?
I could have been replaced or fired at any any minute. There was no contract. If I did one thing, pissed off the wrong person,
you could have been gone.
Did something inappropriate. And there were a couple instances where there were a couple of musicians that were brought in, especially as the show got a larger following, people were brought in, and it definitely, like, there's a couple times where, like, hey, that person definitely brought off the wrong energy or was like a little strange or might have posted something. And they were not brought back. So it was per episode. And the casting director for us, she, like, if you were in the episode, she tried to bring you back no matter what.
That's nice.
And we kind of became like a family in a sense of that. Like, she was always very, Christine Day. She was always very, like, you know, wanted to bring that core group back, and it was never anything spiteful. But yeah, like, if we did something wrong, like, there was no contract or nothing, we would just be gone. So I was always trying to be, you know, on time, never late, like, never messing around. So yeah, we had to be on our best.
Did you know what was going on in the scripts? Would you get, like, sides the day of? Like, did you ever know what was going on?
I think I got one script. 7 years. I think I got one script.
That is crazy.
You just sitting behind those drums smiling.
No. It was, and I didn't care. Like, I never asked because, again, knowing not being contract, like, not being to an, I was never going to be like, well, I don't know what's going on. Someone needs to send me something and I need more details into what's happening. No, we would just get there. We would see the sides for the day, obviously, just get an idea of what's going on. But we had no idea of the backstory in the episode. So I had to actually almost watch the story to understand the storylines because being in the show so much more. And then when we started, like, being on camera a little bit more, it was like, I need to know what's going on. And there was a couple directors, Stoltz. Eric Stoltz was great at this. He would actually be like, hey, you know, so-and-so is really being an a-hole today in this scene. And just whenever they walk by, just give him an evil glance or just ignore so-and-so or, hey, it's a good day. Be really happy back there playing. And, like, you know, they would kind of feed into that. And so it was really interesting. We never really got scripts or any kind of, you know, any kind of clue what was going on until that morning.
What about the music, though? Like, when did you know what you were going to be mimicking playing?
Yeah, that was tough, especially playing drums. It's pretty, like, you can see if I'm not hitting the crash.
Yeah.
There were some times we'd get the music a day or two in advance, but there were other times, and you two know the schedule, like, it's a tough schedule and things get, it takes a lot of turning stuff over. There were a couple of times where I'd go to bed at like 10 for like a 6 a.m. call time. And I'd wake up that morning and get the music and be listening to it in the car over and over as I'm driving in, because it's like a big number. A lot of that for, like, you know, the bigger regionals and big mashups. The mashups are always like last minute. And so we'd be learning them. There'd be times with, I don't know if you ever noticed, but sometimes the rest of the band be sitting there with headphones in, just like strumming, like, just like trying to play, but not play loud because you doing walkthroughs of the scene. And I'm like still learning the song that we're about to shoot in like 5 minutes.
Yep.
So sometimes we would get it the night before pretty late, or we'd get it like a day or two, never more than like a day or two in advance.
Did you have to learn by ear?
There was never any sheet music. There was never, it was all, and
the advantage to hiring real musicians, because
thank God.
Well, everybody is a real musician, but here's the thing. I don't know how many different genres and mashup genres were done. I'm in a classical jazz swing. So when there was these big numbers that were like crazy, like, and I'm like, this fill and this backbeat, it's like 3/4 and like, what is this key signature? And then it switches into like a hip hop mashup. And I'm like, when is that happening? Bar 8. And then there's like a random fill where I'm like, and that's when the camera passes across. And I'm like, oh, another.
Of course.
And I see the camera. Oh, and I'm like, what part is this? I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. I don't remember what's happening the rest of the song. Yeah. It was wild.
Wow.
I remember that in some of those songs too, you had like an electric drum set. Did you have any say so of like what type of equipment was showing up when you were showing up?
No. I just, whatever was there. There was one time. There was one time they gave me just a tambourine to play in a song. I forgot what song it was. I played tambourine, and it was 8 hours, and I was slamming that thing on my hip. I got home, and my hip was black and blue because I was in the same spot. I think Scotty, bass player, like I sent him a photo of my hip afterwards. He was like, "Oh my god, you were actually hitting." I was like, "Yeah, I was actually hitting it on my hip for 6 hours. I've been shooting that up."
Jenna, the weather is finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Yes, it is. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. And luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. We love that.
I just got the silk skirt, and then I also got the 100% organic cotton striped sweater. It's great quality for that price. I literally shop here all the time now because it is just undeniable.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/really for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/really to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/really. Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I feel like there was very little turnover in that band for the most part. Like some people came in and then they would stay if somebody couldn't do it anymore. What was your relationship like with everyone? Like, and in terms of that turnover, like, did you guys, was there camaraderie and the sort of, we don't know what the fuck we're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the most sense, like we always kind of came in, we all knew each other pretty well, and there were like little pockets, obviously, like little click, like mini clicks, obviously, within that entire show, from cast, crew, like everybody, and we just kind of knew our routine, and so we kind of knew each other a little bit outside of that, And so we obviously, like, me and Scott had been there since the pilot. And so we were like, we had been through this so many times that when new people came in, there was some hazing, and then, you know, you get along with them. And then, you know, like Derek, who played guitar, Mark Nyland played piano for a little bit. Now he's like a Grammy award winning producer, did like Gaga stuff and everything. And it's cool to like have those little pockets of friends that came in and left because they were, and they ended up going on tour or started playing with a band or something. Right. But yeah, it became a cool little pocket of friends that, you know, I would see two days out of the week and then, you know, go to see their shows or something like that. So
how many days would you say on average you would work in an episode? Cause sometimes there was a lot of choir room stuff.
Yeah. I'd say like usually 2 days out of the week, definitely at least a day a week. I mean, I remember it usually being like a Thursday, or bigger numbers would be like Thursday. What do we call them? Fraterdays, or like when, Thursdays, Fridays until late night. So I remember it usually being later in the week. There was some, you know, Monday stuff, but a day or two out of the week, some days three when we had like big, big musical numbers and stuff like that, or when it was like a play or something.
Did you just have to live on standby then? Like the rest of your life is like, I don't know when I'm going to get called. So
yeah. Yeah.
But what if you weren't available?
I mean, I was in my early 20s. I was always available.
Okay, fair. Fine.
Like, yeah.
And for me, like, you're available. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Enough going on. Like, sorry. I have a session with my friend today. I'm
right.
Yeah. That kind of became, it was tough because like I was DJing on the weekends. So like a Friday night gig, I remember having to cancel sometimes because I knew we'd have like a later call time on a Friday. I'm like, hey, I'm not gonna be able to make it tonight. But weekdays, it was, you know, I was in my early 20s. I was just writing music. So that was my priority. I was like, I'm keeping this gig. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
You're not smart. Gonna mess this up. Yeah. I was trying to just, you know, be available.
Now you guys joined the Glee Club and you were then magically actors who danced and were musicians.
Right.
Do you remember what that call was like when you got the script? Did you get a script? And then also being in rehearsals with us, like it's a little bit of a blur for me. I remember exactly like when you guys joined, and I remember that episode very vividly, but like, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, I was like walking around the Grove or something. And I remember getting the call like, hey, I was asked, they asked me for like another headshot or something like that. And they were like, well, we have to send it over to the actual casting director. This was like the music casting director who had to send it to the actual casting director and all this stuff. And I was like, what is happening? They're like, well, you're going to be joining the cast for an episode. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I'm already a part of it. I was like, they're my friends. I'm already a part of the show. What do you mean joining them? Like, I'm already like, we're already doing this thing. They're like, well, they're going to have you like sing and dance in a couple of episodes. Like, what? No, I was excited because, you know, after, I don't remember what season that was. I want to say it was like three.
Yeah.
Season three. It was, you know, a couple of years of doing the same thing. So it was kind of cool. And Ryan joked with me a couple of times in season one saying that he was thinking about making, he was going to give Heather a love interest with somebody in the band, which I thought would have been hilarious. Just like
funny.
A band groupie, of course, who else would have been. But it was kind of cool to get excited to do something different. That's how I was kind of looking at it. And I remember jumping into rehearsals with you guys and being more in like your routine. And I had so much respect for like the work that y'all went through and seeing that side of it and getting like a different perspective on what's been going on for like 2-3 years. It was really cool to be a part of and to just having been in like a routine and knowing our routine and switching it up and being like, damn, like this is a lot of work. And like, this is like they put in time and it was really cool to see.
I remember you guys joining rehearsal and it was so, because by that point, like you said, we were family, like really good friends.
Yeah.
And because every performance you guys, like we're all there together all those hours, we were all hanging out. It wasn't just the 12 Glee Club members. It was us and all of you all the time.
Yeah.
So it never really felt separate in that way, especially when it came to like the performances. It's natural that you guys are there. So when you were in dance rehearsal, it was just like, great. We have more of our friends
joining
in rehearsal.
Us.
But I remember like, I'm like, I hope they're not like scared.
But we also really nervous. Did dance in that one. Like,
oh yeah. My gosh, that was the like the
Justified.
80s. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
that and was, Michael, that was hard.
That was a lot, and it wasn't. It wasn't like an episode. Just everything in the choir room. That was a regional. That was like in the auditorium. Big numbers
threw you into the most dancing we had probably done up to that point.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a big one too because we had lost all those members, so it was like. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I got to finally see like who actually knew what they were doing, which was kind of funny to watch. So as a and I, as a drummer, feel so confident right now that I can count to four. I was so happy. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's funny. That's so funny. And were Zach and Brooke and everybody like nice to you and like getting you? I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure they were, but just like, did they like help you guys?
Yeah, I mean, Zach was always the best, and both of them were very I think they like eased us in, and once they saw like Scott and I kind of held our own, they were just like, cool, okay, well, you're gonna do this now and then do this, but they were very like not eased it in, but they just like they knew that it was kind of like a shakeup for us, so they didn't just like expect us to be able to come in and keep up right away. And so they kind of gave us like, you know, low bar, and then they eased us in, which was nice.
Once that sort of stint happened, did you know how long that was going to last?
Man, I wanted to last for as long as it could, because it was, you know, it was so fun. And it's weird not, it was weird kind of going back to the usual after that. You're kind of like, well, I did that, and I thought I did. It was almost like getting the promotion and then getting demoted, or like being brought in sports, like being brought up to the big leagues and then kind of stepping back.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think I didn't have a problem. I was excited to continue on with the show. And like, I think especially after the graduation, the first graduation episode where I was in cap and gown, I was like, well, I guess we're done. And then being brought after, it was kind of like the same feeling again, where it was like, okay, don't take this for granted. You still get to be part of this. And like that moment was great, but it was definitely something I was like, man, like we could have done that again. Like we could have had some sort of story arc or some sort of, you know, involvement again. And, but I had a blast doing it.
You also are just very talented in your own right, aside from Glee. John also DJ'd our wedding, so we all like stay in touch, which is so cool, and we just adore you. But during the show, or right after, you worked with some of the cast members. Like, you co-wrote with Leah on her album, and then you worked on a song with Naya, right? A music video, and then you also used to DJ Snixmas too. Can you tell me about how those happened?
John was our resident like producer in chief.
You're like, John.
Yeah, like anybody has any ideas? Like,
that's how you ask me to your wedding. You're like, hey, so I'm getting married. Like, done. When? Tell me when.
Yes, exactly.
One of the best weddings I've ever been to, by the way. It was so much fun. It was
so fun. It's like wedding. All our friends. It was so cool. It was such a great night.
How many dance battles? It was great.
Too many.
No, I like the arts. So like, I guess acting, I've always appreciated the art of it. And like, it was a different experience. People always ask me, well, why didn't you like try to do more acting afterwards? And I was like, being on set was fun, and being a part of that, I have so much respect for. But I just love creative passion is music, and it always has been. And so when Naya first asked about doing some music, and even Amber and everything, I was so not honored, but I was just like, I was so excited and so happy to be a part of like their music life outside of the show. Cause it is such, you both know, like it's being creative in that world is such an intimate, and like vulnerable spot. Like in order to be a true creative, you have to be comfortable with putting your ideas out there and then having either come out and it be good or not. And it's like a reflection of you. Yeah. So anytime any of you wanted to do something musically, like you and Kevin and I have done stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff with Naya was great. I mean, I think we wrote probably like 8 songs together, and we just kind of like got together and just, you know, just had fun doing it. It was always a pleasure, 'cause you get to know each other for years in this like creative environment that's completely different. And then you could step into a different environment that's more intimate and like a little bit more stripped down in a way. And that was always really, really like a highlight of my like extended like glee experience of being able to do that with friends that I made from this experience and then do something outside of it. And then obviously the DJing, like the rap parties, the how many Snicks misses? I mean, the time that they put me in a treehouse.
I got there late and I was like, where's that from the tower?
Yeah, I'm like, where is John? Like, I hear the music. Where is he?
Yeah, those are, I mean, DJing is doing it so long. But that's just such a, I'm an extrovert in that way, or not extrovert, an empath in the way that I love when people have a good time from music, that whether it's mine or someone else's or whoever's. Like, I love that joy that music brings to people. And so when I can like play a song and see you all lose your mind and Kevin split his pants on the dance floor, like that is just the best.
You knew us. It is true. It was, I think that's why we always felt, especially like Naya scooped you up so quickly for those parties. And then we were like, well, there's no other DJ for us in our lives forever.
Right, exactly.
Because you know us so well. We all know each other so well, like musically, that like, imagine going to, like anybody listening, like going to a party and the person, any of those parties, the person DJing knows exactly what you want to hear all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Was just like, it was the best.
I had a Glee playlist that I would like, anytime we'd have a party, I just knew that I'd go to that playlist.
So a lot of 90s R&B.
Oh yeah, a lot of 90s, Beyonce and Rihanna, like anything. Yeah.
Yes.
Destiny's Child, all of that.
The pop. Yeah.
And that's always fun because like knowing you each individually and then just like taking your own individual playlist and putting it into a bucket and then drawing from that bucket, and you're just like, you're watching each one of you just go lose your mind to a song that comes on, and that causes a chain reaction because that person would get excited when Kevin gets excited.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Did we discover you were a DJ because you DJed like one of the earlier rap parties? Like, how did that happen? Do you remember?
I don't know. I remember a time I was DJing in a place in Hollywood and I invited you guys out or something. And Jenna being there.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might have been one of the first times that you guys had seen me DJ. Because I feel like that was during season one.
That's right.
And I somehow got wrapped into the rap party season two. I think it was after Snicksmas. So I think it was like, I was like, hey, by the way, I DJ if you guys want to come out and like hang out like on a Saturday night. And then I think it kind of
snowballs from there. Yeah.
Let's talk about something we can all relate to. Hair removal. Not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Between Nick's cuts and razor burn, the worst. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. Nair's new scents have turned my bathroom into a spa. My favorite is the soothing aloe and water lily body cream. It smells so good. Plus, it's designed for lingering freshness, so I smell and feel good for the rest of the day. And who doesn't love that? Nair's new shower and body creams are super easy to apply and work in as little as 3 minutes, and my smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. You can use it on your legs, arms, underarms, even your bikini area, which is perfect with summer right around the corner. I just went on a trip to New York to visit my family, and I used Nair before I left. I didn't even need to pack a razor because I knew my legs would be smooth the entire trip. So check out the new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. So smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit BARTESIAN.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I do remember meeting you on the pilot.
Yeah, and you were right next to me in your wheelchair with that guitar that you had just learned to play or something.
And it was so embarrassing because very quickly you can turn around and be like, oh, these guys are real musicians, obviously. And here I am faking everything I'm doing. I'm not in the wheelchair. I don't know how to play guitar. And then I was watching, I'm like, I was filling in for Corey learning this dance. That's a thing I can do, but I'm not doing that. And I was like, thank God my back is to these musicians because I don't want to see their face as I am messing all of this up.
Well, you learned in the trailer like the day before, Kevin, to be fair.
Well, they gave me lessons. This poor guy
was
like so good. Like an actual guitar player, producer, classical music, like taught me through the first season how to fake it properly, which entails sort of learning it.
Right.
But like that doesn't mean... Anyway, I was just, my like initial impressions were that of embarrassment for myself because I obviously greatly respected what you were all doing. And we were all in this weird, unknown like soup together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Of figuring, you know, like you were there when they were figuring out how do we shoot a musical number.
Right.
We're going to do the simplest number forever. I guess like from your perspective, like, what was that whole arc like? Because you saw it from inception to us actually getting to do and you being in like vocal adrenaline level type numbers and how the shooting style changed, how the whole operation changed.
Yeah. Before that, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember Food Fight Day?
Oh, yes. Of course.
I remember Food Fight Day.
I realized when Corey came over and kicked me off the drums, somebody thought it was a good idea to just, well, John's standing there, give him a guitar.
No.
Yeah.
Probably stole.
So very similar to you, I'm standing there like, I don't play guitar. What? So I'm asking Derek, like, what do I do?
Oh, no.
And he's like, just stand there and strum, dude. Just stand there and strum. And I was like, well, so if you go back, I just somehow start playing guitar. While
it's okay. We were watching an episode recently and I fully caught myself. Oh, actually, Jenna, I forgot to mention it, but I'm still standing. And I clearly, for how long have I been doing this show? And clearly I'm singing leads and did not know the words. And then like fully turned my face away. And come back on like the fourth word. I was like, I forgot the beginning of the line. So we were doing that shit every episode. So,
it's so true.
To go to your question, it's cool being able to see. It's really rare that you're a part of something from the beginning to the end that has the kind of like trajectory that the show kind of had. And so looking back on it, like that's to me still blows my mind that there's this show that I was a part of from an email that I had no clue what it was going to be. And then it took off and became this thing. I remember going to perform on the Oprah show with you guys. You remember that? I was even there.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you remember
John.
That, but I remember
going to my God,
be
John.
On the show with you.
And I don't think we knew.
No, like, we didn't know we were on camera. We were off to the side doing our miming per usual. I don't
John, stop.
That whole thing was like, so that... there's a lot of things.
Yes, that is truly like, I don't know what your friends or family like thought, but like kid moves to Hollywood, goes to school, and ends up on Oprah within 2 years.
What? No, from an email, guys.
Yeah. Damn.
It was wild.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have the most respect and like the fondest memories of just that crew and you guys and just what happened in between the takes. Mm-hmm. And really I run into so often, like especially DJing or the rap parties or just being in LA still, I run into like crew members all the time. And It's that like Glee family, like it's such a nice, like it's like an extended family that you always have that bond with those people because they were part of that thing. And that's like, that's one of the coolest things. I saw Brittany Parks the other day and I was just like, EP and just big hug. And I was like, oh yeah, you have that bond together.
Oh, I love it.
So nice. Yeah. Like, I think from everything, I think that's the biggest thing I took away from. It's just like, you have an extended family that, you know, no one else can put a claim on except for you and them.
Understand like what we've been through and like you saw it all.
Mm-hmm.
What is the feeling that Glee leaves you with?
Man, I want to say just pure happiness. I think like, because I was so lucky to be a part of it, that you can't just not think of those relationships, those hours, the inside jokes, the hard times, the long hours. And yeah, I think just so happy to be a part of it. I don't think anything else, there is no other word of like that experience was for me than just happy I was being, you know, I was there. Just on the drums, playing away.
We ended up doing like 740 something numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many you were in?
I can look. I mean, close to, I don't want to say 200, but up close to 200 for sure.
Why?
Because I know I have like, last time I looked, I have like 160 songs from... But I could have deleted a couple or
right.
It's up in there, like the 170 to 200 songs, probably.
That's great. Nuts.
But and then there was other times where we were just walking down the hall and, you know, or interacting.
Yeah.
Times we were there that we didn't end up playing because we were about to start playing and then it was a dream sequence.
Right.
So those were weird days saying,
or hey, just like sitting at the drum, like at your drum kit, but like not playing.
You need it today. Hey, by the way, asking the other band members, did we get music for this? Because I didn't get it. No, what are we playing? I don't know. Just sit there and get ready.
Or like when Tina does like a half a song. So you like play a half a song.
Yeah, for some reason, your songs were never full.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. But it's for another episode.
I just have to say the amount of respect I have for you and the whole band, because I think a lot of time we didn't undervalue you while we're doing it, but I think those long hours and all of that can go so unnoticed and overlooked because you were all so professional, never complained, never said shit.
Yeah, we're just fired.
Yeah, but you were always there and like we all became friends, and because you were all so nice and lovely and just like good human beings, and like thank God like we all got to be together and like end up together, and that was all of you in the band.
Yeah.
Because it made it made that family so much more complete. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys never once did any of us ever feel like we were outsiders or anything. It was always a warm environment in those rooms. With the cast and the crew and everybody. You guys were always very welcoming of us, and we always felt welcome, like we are part of the team. So happy you say that, but the feeling was definitely mutual for sure.
It's probably also because we're like, we're frauds and they're the real thing.
Well, like when they would bring like strings in and the strings would actually have to play.
I remember Kevin one time be like,
I know. We'd be like,
in the middle of the take.
Nice to hear live music. Like I wish you guys could have like really played, because like you're like, wow, this is so nice.
My drum set was muted, taped, glued. They had triples on there.
Yeah, how did they do that? You had, didn't you have like pads on stuff and things?
They put pads under the drum head so you don't see them, and then they taped those so that it's like extra muted, and then they super glue like multiple cymbals and all kinds of things.
Yeah. Movie magic.
Magic.
You guys could have also had like these crazy attitudes because you're like, I don't know what's going on and I don't know what's happening and I am here just day by day. And like just to have that great attitude really did like give like it just added to our crew. And you guys are so great and such good sports. And we're just grateful to have you guys as like the family. And now, you know, staying close as friends, it's like it's just really awesome. And it's a nice feeling to have. So and also thanks for taking your time to, you're a busy man. So thanks for coming on the podcast as well. It's just so fascinating for people to hear like about experience.
Again, you guys are friends, family. Anytime I get a text or a call and you want me to do something, it's, you know, it's family. You guys, I've known you more than I've known some of my, you know, who I call my closest friends, and we literally grew up together. So I guess family,
You're the best, John. Thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime. Appreciate it, y'all.
Thank you, John.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
See ya. Soon. Thank you so much.
Bye. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Sweet man.
Oh my God. I just didn't know any of that.
I didn't either.
And they're just like such good attitudes about it. I know, yes. But like, look, nobody's going to talk about their contracts while we're on the show. Nobody's going to be like, it's now in hindsight, you're like, oh, it's just such, everybody had their own experience.
And there's that weird thing. Like we were all around the same age. And it's like, you did feel weird. Like it didn't feel right to ask people about that sort of stuff.
No, exactly.
Stuff. We're all here. We love each other. It's all good.
It feels like he was there much more than 2 days a week.
Oh, yeah. It felt like he was there all the time.
I mean, I'm sure there were some episodes, but anyway, our band was amazing.
Because he was there, the whole band was there during the longest scenes. The musical numbers took the longest. Right. So right. The times that we were all in the same place for the longest amount of time, he was there.
He was there. Yeah. Well, thanks, John, for coming on and sharing your experience and chatting. I hope you guys enjoyed listening and hearing all about from the music side and the band side. They were there with us from the beginning. So it was just awesome.
I can't believe he and Scott were there from the pilot.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's and so cool.
Watching them age, like they were,
they watched us age. We watched
exactly,
them age.
But like I feel like they look younger than us.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And like get to see them. It's like, oh, babies.
I know, sweet babies.
Even though we were the same age, but
well, they look younger. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode.
And that's what you really missed. See ya.
Thanks for listening and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Miss Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.